when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, this is Pat McAfee, and you're listening to the Complex Sports Podcast, a podcast hosted by three men who are incredibly entertaining. Their words are riveting. And if you're not listening to this, you're an absolute stooge. So be a friend, tell a friend. The Complex Sports Podcast is where it's at. Cheers.
On this week's episode of the Complex Sports Podcast, we have Michael Jordan's longtime trainer, Tim Grover, join us to tell NBA stories, the history of Kobe and Michael, his new book, and much more. Plus, we talk about all the NBA playoff games and the play-ins that happened this week. Let's get to it. What up, everybody? It's your man Chops, brand new episode of the Complex Sports Podcast. We are back another week. As always, Zion and Adam joining me. Fellas, what's going on? How are we feeling?
Can you get a new stick? Can you get something else, bro? What up? Change it up, bro.
No, people love that.
Thing is getting old, bro. No one loves that.
We'll crowdsource whether or not people love that, but what are we talking about off the top here?
Playoff week, right? NBA playoffs starting.
The play-in tournament,
unless
whatever.
You want to tell us about your extracurricular
activity. No, it's not for public consumption on the podcast. It's for private conversation.
Yeah, what you doing? You was out and about. You said you was in the streets, maskless.
As normal people who are vaccinated, such as myself, are now capable of doing, according to the CDC. I had an awesome dinner in the West Village with a friend of mine, and we got after a late night in New York City. I didn't get home until about 2 o'clock on a school night, and it was fucking glorious. The city was popping. There was vibrancy, and it felt great to be alive and doing normal shit for the first time in basically 16 months. And I'm making zero apologies for it because I'm fully vaccinated and following all the other bullshit protocols and nonsense and this and that. The CDC
Relax. Talk about the protocols.
Man. You do what you got to do. I'm good. I did my research. I did my part. I'm ready to live.
Yo, Adam, this man Zion's literally still scared to leave his house right now. He's vaccinated and is scared.
Start living
his
your
house.
Life, pal. Okay,
Zion, go outside.
Yeah, no, sir.
Live your life.
No,
Zion, go outside. Sir. You can't just play PS5 all day.
Go be social. Go be a human being again for the first
time. I actually be working. I don't be sitting around doing nothing like y'all. Y'all can see my work. You see what I'm working. I was working all this weekend. All this shoot. Yeah. I was working on a Sunday. I was writing articles. I was doing interviews. I was doing the social. I was doing everything. Like, my back hurts from carrying yesterday. Carrying Complex Sports.
Who built that post for you on the site? Who built that post for you?
Mr. Zach Friedenlund.
Exactly. Yeah, try that one again, pal. Yeah. And number two.
Friedland.
But tell the audience what you wrote about and what you posted.
It was a good thing. It was a good piece.
It was all right. It wasn't anything.
Tell the audience.
Tell them what you did.
J. Cole played basketball on Sunday, as we all know. He actually played against one of my boys who was the opposing point guard. So I talked to him about how he guarded J. Cole some of the game. And, you know, J. Cole looked a little rusty, but, you know, he's 36. So it was cool to see someone achieve their dream. Stop hating on J. Cole, y'all. Let him do his thing, man.
Whom was hating on J. Cole?
Why were people making his stat line like a thing? Like,
yeah,
like
I knew that was going to happen. Once I seen the quote card, the 3 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, I saw it at night. Someone
it's like the Tony Snell one. It's like the Tony Snell one where it's zeros down the board. Why'd they do Jermaine like that? New album is good. Zion, your piece was good. It was very dope. You know what Cole is doing. Very dope rollout. Shout out to Damian Scott, you know, who helped with all that. Our man.
So when's J. Cole coming on the pod?
So I want to ask this, actually. I don't know, Adam. I want to ask this. Who's winning one-on-one? Because I know we all saw the viral clip. Adam Sandler versus J. Cole. Who's winning one-on-one? Because Sandler can ball. People don't know that the Sandman is nice on the court.
I think, to be honest, I think Sandler might win that.
Just I think because he might. Sandler's got a jumper, man.
I would trust Sandler's jump shot more than I would trust J. Cole's right now.
I think J. Cole's more of a spot-up shooter. more of a catch and shoot.
But Sandler's
guy.
Got handles. What's the thing? Like
Sandler's
going to
Sandler, yeah. Sandler will create his shot better than J. Cole will. I think Zion's observation is right. With all the work we saw him do with Brickley up in the gyms up here in New York City, it was more spot up shooting. You know, just launching from deep. So I feel like Sandler's a little bit more creative with his handles and his ability to get his own shot than J. Cole. So yeah.
So we're 3-0. We think
shockingly we agree. Yeah, for the first time ever.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think Sandler wins that one.
All right, that's enough of our weekend recap fun, as always. We have a good podcast this week. We're going to talk some NBA playoffs, and then a little bit later, we have Tim Grover on the podcast, MJ's longtime personal trainer.
Coach, oh, you can't just downplay that.
It's a great interview.
He gave some stories, man.
He just stories for days, and opinions, and some Space Jam talk. It was great. I mean, it's a phenomenal 30-minute interview that's coming later in the pod. But, you know, definitely if you're a hoops head, check it out because you're going to love it.
Before we get to that, best storytelling we got.
Yeah. Before we get to that, NBA playoffs officially start this week with the play-in games. Let's do predictions for the playoff games. Let's go through each one. What is the first play-in game? I don't even know.
It's Pacers Hornets on Tuesday.
Pacers Hornets first game, Adam. I have the spreads even, Adam.
I have the spreads too, but go ahead. You can announce them.
Pacers are favored by 3.5 in this game. Ooh, I feel good. I feel good talking spreads again. I miss football, guys. You guys realize that? I miss football.
We don't, but let's continue talking about the NBA playoffs.
Okay, so 3.5. Who are we taking?
We're taking the Hornets here. Take the points.
Ooh, I like
Pacers.
That.
Pacers are really fucking beat up right now. They're incredibly injured. No Miles Turner. You're not going to have Jeremy Lin. Some other subs. Malcolm Brogdon. As we're taping this right now, his situation, I think, is up in the air, but probably he ends up going. But the Hornets have been the better team in clutch situations and close games, and the Pacers are really beat up. And let's not forget they have all the shit floating around with their coach. So they are team turmoil right now. Take the Hornets.
Yeah, give me the Hornets too. Zion, what do you think?
That's a tough one because I think talent-wise, if Brogdon does play, I don't think he is. Maybe. I don't know.
It's up in the air right now as we're taping this Monday afternoon.
I'm surprised they're favored by 3.5, to be honest with you.
The Pacers are favored?
It's in Indiana, yeah, because the Pacers are the 9 seed, Hornets are the 10th seed.
Do they have fans?
They ain't barely fans there.
I mean, that's Indiana. It's Indiana. They could have 75% capacity. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, but I don't think Sabonis playing. Is Sabonis scheduled to play?
Yes, he's playing.
Yeah.
Oh, Indiana's got talent. They have talent.
A lot of it's injured
right
now.
But that team's just a mess. That coach is going to get fired after one season.
The Hornets have blown two games this weekend. So, to be honest, I'm going with Caris LeVert, man. Caris LeVert carries the Pacers to the 8.
All right. Second game that night. So, we're taking the Pacers to – we're split. Okay. So, basically, actually, let's break down how the play-in works if our listeners don't know. Whoever wins that 9-10 game – then what? What happens?
They face the loser of the 7-8 game. And the winner of that game then gets the 8 seed.
Yes. Okay.
The winner of the 7-8 game gets a 7 seed. The loser of that game plays a 9-10 for the 8 seed.
Okay. So then that 7-8 game is a good one. It's a good one, guys. Wizards-Celtics. Celtics are only favored by 1.5 right now. Celtics have been a mess this whole season. Wizards have come on as late a little bit. Bradley Beal's been playing very well. Russell Westbrook has been playing well. What do we think? What happens in this game?
I'm taking the Celtics here. Excuse me. I apologize for that. Not taking the Celtics. I'm taking the Wizards here just because of how well they've played down the stretch. You know what Beal averaged in 3 games against the Celtics? Like, he torched them in all 3 games. He averaged over 30, I think, 32 points, something like that. And he went for 44 in one game.
Well, I mean, that's what he averages for the
season. Well, good point. But also, he went up for 44 against them one game. And the Wizards have won 17 of the final 23 games. They're playing better. There's no Jaylen Brown for the Celtics.
Crazy run.
Yeah, they've been on an incredible run. So keep the momentum going in a one-game situation. Celtics have been an absolute, mad inconsistent.
No, you can say
all right, so borderline dumpster fire. It's pretty goddamn bad. They've underachieved. Why would you not pick the Wizards here?
It's embarrassing that the Celtics are even in the play-in game in the Eastern Conference.
That's fair, yeah.
Zion, it's embarrassing.
I need the Celtics to win this game so
bad. I didn't see that coming. Why? Why?
Because the winner of this game plays the Nets.
So you want the Celtics. You don't want the Wizards.
I don't want to play Wizards at all. I don't want to play Russell Westbrook.
All the Nets-Wizards games this year were wild, weren't they?
Yes, they were. And Russell Westbrook, when he sees KD on the other side,
And James Harden.
Oh, my goodness.
And James Harden.
Frenemies. Yeah.
This is not going to be a great series for – like, and I just think matchup-wise, the Celtics can't – they can't hang with us just because they can't defend and
Kemba,
they're too small.
Kemba can't do it. Kemba can't score from
the
Kyrie.
They can't play big. Oh, and Kyrie does murder Kemba every time they play.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're UConn.
No, Kemba hasn't been Kemba. That's completely fine. Even though he did have four good games before sitting out the final three games of the regular season. Real quick, I fucked up the Bradley Beal stat. He averaged 39.3 points per game in the three matchups with the Celtics this year. So really torched him.
All right. So who are you? You're going with the Wizards. Zion, you're rooting for the Celtics, but what do you think?
I'm rooting for the Celtics. And I'm picking the Celtics because I have to. I'm not getting another option there.
I think the Wizards win. I'm going with the hot hand here. I'm going with the hot hand. I think Beal's playing unreal. Russell Westbrook's playing unreal, and the Celtics look broken. I think if the Celtics lose this game, they might legitimately not make the playoffs, and Brad Stevens could get fired. That's my prediction. That's my bold prediction.
I think it's a possibility.
Or Jaylen Brown's getting traded. Something's happening to the Celtics this summer that's going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah. Brad Stevens is probably – I think it might be his last year. It's probably
I can't believe he didn't take the Indiana job. I cannot believe he didn't take the Indiana job. He should have just
got out. But real quick, have you been to Indianapolis?
He's from there. It's
have
different.
You been? Like, I don't care. You can be from someplace. Doesn't mean you want to go back.
That's
to
like
it.
Asking me if I would go work for the Cleveland Browns. Not a lot of people would probably say yes. I would because I'm from Cleveland and I like Cleveland. Brad Stevens is from Indiana.
I get that, so but – he's been in Boston. He's been in much better city.
Well, but Adam, if he gets fired from this job, what other NBA job is he going to
get? He can get any NBA job he wants.
I don't agree with that.
You don't think that Brad Stevens is widely considered one of the top coaches in the NBA?
No, he'll get another NBA job, but I think he might go the college route.
The fact that he didn't even make an NBA finals with this Celtics team is so embarrassing.
He ran into LeBron. Your boy.
What did he do?
What about the last two years? What did he run into?
What happened this year? There's no
Danny Ange. Danny Ange deserves a little bang for that. So.
Danny Ange should get fired too.
I don't think Brad Stevens gets fired. And zero sources on this, but I do think there probably will be some significant changes.
I mean, Jaylen Brown's getting traded. I think
would go apoplectic if they broke the two of them up.
They have to. What are they going to do?
I gotta get creative.
Nah, I think you try to trade Kemba before you try to trade Jaylen Brown.
What are you gonna get for Kemba? A fucking bag of sandwiches? What do you mean? They're not getting you shit. You ain't getting shit for Kemba.
Yeah, if the Knicks will take him if you give him Elfrid Payton. I mean, if you want one prom for the other, yeah.
That might be an upgrade at this point. Jesus Christ. All right, let's keep it moving. Spurs Grizzlies. Oh, I fell asleep even thinking about it. Grizzlies are favored by 3.5.
Snooze fest. Take the Grizzlies. Keep it moving.
I'm picking the Grizzlies, but it's hard to bet against Pop. You know?
The Spurs are incredibly banged up, and the last time they beat the Grizzlies, you know who their second leading scorer was? LaMarcus Aldridge.
He's retired.
So yeah, keep it moving.
He's retired.
Keep it moving.
A lot happened in this NBA season. Well, almost.
Yeah, this was a long NBA season.
Nothing happened while a lot happened at the same time. Game of the play-in, Warriors Lakers. Can I give clown of the week to whoever decided this game should be at 10 o'clock at night on Wednesday?
It's at 10 o'clock.
Two West Coast teams.
It's at 10 o'clock. So, I don't care. Do it earlier. Why would you do it at 10 o'clock? You're in desperate need of ratings, and you put the marquee game that everybody's going to watch at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, just for like the location wise, the game would be starting at 6.
Yeah, you're going to put the game between the two Midwest teams on at like 10 o'clock at night? No, that's not how it works. You don't do a tip-off of a West Coast playoff game at 4:30 in the afternoon out in LA. That's not how it works.
I've seen it. They've done it. They've done that before.
Not in a weekday.
Figure something out. Having this game on at 10 o'clock is criminal.
This is how it works. It's the playoffs. Get ready. We're going to be up late next 2.5 months.
So who are we taking here? I think it's easy. The Lakers are going to smoke.
Unless Steph goes for 75 and flirts with Kobe.
Steph's going to have moments where you think the game's going to be close and he's keeping them around, but LeBron's going to toy with it.
Even the game that's the Warriors did win this year, they were down by like 25. Yeah. And then Steph.
You're going to need a beyond heroic effort from Steph for them to seriously flirt with winning this game. And if he does, kudos to him. And, you know, Steph is just adds to his legendary status. But it ain't fucking happening. Lakers.
Yeah, I think it's playoff. I mean, it's not technically playoffs, but it's going to be a playoff type game. So the Lakers are sending the house at Steph. Steph is not going to have any type of freedom.
I'm also slightly pissed.
Freedom.
Chops, you're with me on this. That again, the NBA is going to love the fact they have LeBron versus Steph, in the marquee playing game, and it gives like credence to them creating this thing. But this, again, this fucking novelty, we'll get wrapped up in it for a little bit, but this is like
it's not even a play-in game. Yeah. Like, make this one elimination, loser out.
I would agree.
And then
make the,
I would be in.
Up the stakes even more, and if you want to get even deeper into the playoff bullshit, bring back.
Technically, this game, I'm going to whisper something. Technically, this game doesn't mean fucking
you're not
anything.
Wrong.
Yeah, this game doesn't mean shit.
Wrong.
I get it. It's LeBron's step. People
and everyone's going to pick the Lakers over either the Jazz or the Suns, no matter what, in the first round.
The NBA desperately fucking needs a shot to the arm that they're trying to get from this.
Hey, you know what would be a shot in the arm?
What?
5-game first round series.
Exactly.
Put some fucking people don't care about this one, though.
They will, but it's kind of, but it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't mean anything, Zion. It still doesn't mean anything.
I mean, but. If I'm the Lakers,
it doesn't mean
also, no, but still, it means something. It means something for the Lakers more than everybody, because if the Lakers lose that game, then your path becomes the Jazz, the Clippers, and then whoever's in the conference.
They don't care about
you
that.
Think
also,
LeBron cares. LeBron doesn't. Care.
Real quick, I just started this. That, bro. What do these stats fall under? Because this is technically not the playoffs.
Who cares? And who knows?
That's kind of important.
Has blood on his hands. Blood on Adam Silver.
It's probably an extra regular season game,
which is not really accurate, but it's also not a postseason game. This is like some purgatory shit.
Adam, how far are the Knicks going in the playoffs? The fourth seeded New York Knicks.
Knicks will be a second round playoff team.
They are. They're going to sweep the
hopefully
Knicks in five over the Hawks.
I can see it. Book the Knicks
in five.
Knicks in five over the Hawks.
Wow.
Knicks,
I think you're kind of under
five.
I think you're kind of underestimating the Hawks. The Hawks have been. The Hawks have been one of the best teams in the NBA since Nick McMillan took over.
They have one of the better records in the second half
like,
of the season. Yeah.
This is not a slouch team. Like, but I think the Knicks. I don't know. I've been back and forth on this series, but I think the Knicks.
No, take off your goddamn black and white color glasses here, pal. All right, take off your Nets hat. Put your Nets gear away for 2 seconds and objectively look at this matchup. The Knicks are the superior team, even though the Hawks have been playing better during the second half. And with home court advantage, and there will be 5,000 fans in the Garden. That Garden will be rocking.
More than that.
No, right now it's only 5,700, they said.
Let me read something.
You have
let me
updated read information?
I think we got updated information.
Cuomo's letting the guard down?
I hope it's 50% for the Nets, though. We don't care about the Knicks. Give us 50%. We're going to
I just read a tweet. I didn't understand. I'm not good with
They report over the weekend that they're predicting 5,700 fans allowed into the Garden. Maybe half. They're hopeful that half capacity if the Knicks can advance a little bit deeper into the playoffs, but we'll see. Hey, baby, if you're vaccinated, go out and live your life, okay?
Yes. What team is most likely to get upset in the first round?
I got to think about
the Nets.
What?
I just wanted to see your reaction, that's all.
All right.
To get upset. I think you probably have to go out west. You have to say like Denver.
Oh, it's going to be the Jazz or not the Jazz. Well, if the Jazz play the Lakers, then it'll be the technically.
It's going to be is it whoever the Lakers play in the
it's
first
It's whoever the Lakers play. That's who's getting upset because y'all really don't have I think the Suns are going to be very they're going to be
so
in trouble.
Are the Suns the 2 seed? Are the Suns
Yeah, the Suns are the 2 seed.
So they're praying that the Lakers don't win on Wednesday.
Yes, they are praying the Lakers do not win. But yeah, I think
that would be a shitty end of the Suns season if they really did play the Lakers in the first round.
All right, yeah, what has a better chance of happening? The Bucks getting bounced in the first round or the Bucks going to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Bucks getting bounced in the first round. Easy.
Well, yeah, because I'm not going to say the latter because that means they're going to beat the Nets in the second round. That's not happening.
How mad are the Bucks that they have to play the Heat again?
Not ideal.
It's not ideal, but I feel like the Heat too. Actually, no, they're not really a different team because even though Oladipo's out, they still
got before, though. He wasn't there before. Yeah, they still got Bam. Before. They can still put Bam on Giannis. That's all they.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun series. I just don't think it's going to be like. I think the Bucks are winning this one. They're been winning this one.
Would you guys be surprised if the Lakers beat the Suns in the first round?
No.
You guys won't be surprised at all. LeBron's never been bounced in the first round of a playoff series.
Would I be surprised? Surprise?
Our first round of the playoffs. LeBron has
never lost you're
in
saying,
the first round.
You're saying if the Suns beat the Lakers. You said if the Lakers beat the Suns.
No, Suns beat the Lakers. My bad. Would you be surprised if the Suns beat the Lakers?
Yes.
Are the Suns going to be favored in these games, Adam? No. Say the Lakers are the 7th seed.
No.
So have we ever seen a 2 seed not be favored in their game?
You have to go back and dig into the archives deeper than that. But you know who the number 2 selection is overall in terms of odds to win the NBA title.
I know. It's Lakers. The Lakers. Yeah. So these whole playoffs are kind of tilted on their head because they don't really make sense in the West.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Who's the 3 seed?
The Clippers, right?
Nuggets 3, Clippers 4, Mavs 5, Blazers 6.
That's a dangerous series for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Very dangerous series for the Nuggets.
So who are they playing? The Blazers?
Yes. Yeah.
I'd pick the Blazers in that series without Jamal Murray. I'd pick the Blazers.
Yeah. It's a very dangerous series.
So who's that could be an easy upset. Clippers and who?
Clippers and Mavericks. Who?
Mavericks? Yep.
Mavericks.
Which was a good series in the bubble last year.
Give me the Clippers. Zion, who you taking?
Yeah, I need the Clippers to expose all that Luka hype real quick for me.
What's the 3-6 matchup? Is anybody taking the Heat to beat the Bucks?
No.
I think it's a 7-game series.
Ooh, going 7. Okay, Zion, what do you think?
I'm gonna say this. Bucks in 5.
That's a little, it's a little aggressive there, pal.
Maybe 4.
That's very aggressive.
I'll be aggressive with this one.
How? What about Nets? Nets and whoever they play.
Nets. Nets and 4. Every series.
Except the finals. You're ridiculous.
All right. Before we get to this Tim Grover interview, did you guys see this Kwame Brown thing? He went off on Gil, Steven Jackson, Matt Barnes, everything on IG Live.
Yeah, and actually, I talked to Gil on Friday for over an hour, kind of a little bit about this. But we were arguing about... if you guys watched the interview that Gil did with Barnes and Steven Jackson, his point about Kwame, which you're about to get into, Chops.
No, can you break it down? Break it down for the listeners.
I am going to break it down, yeah. Gil's assertion was that Kwame was so fucked up from the booing when he was at the Wizards that he looked forward to road games and that he would kind of low-key like tell guys, like, or can you just like play me during the road games and not play me at home? Gil called me up on Friday as I was driving home from my friend's place in Long Island, battling brutal traffic. And we were arguing for an hour about why free agents don't go to the Knicks. And Gil's assertion was that players these days who have seen the Knicks be shitty over the years, except for a couple seasons here and there, have witnessed the home players get booed left and right and New York fans be relentless and over the top and have these incredibly high expectations. And no major free agent wants to go to the Garden and play for the Knicks when they're going to get booed if they perform poorly and not supported the way they want to be. And that's why the Knicks have been so shitty. I, of course, fought Gil on that point vehemently, and we were arguing, getting after it, because there's a million other reasons why the Knicks have sucked. But that's Gil's assertion that the Knicks have been terrible because New York fans boo their home players.
Can we bring this back to Kwame? What's
this guy's name? How did we get to that point?
Because the point that Gil made in the podcast was that Kwame Brown hated playing at home because the fans would boo him and didn't want to play home games.
Did you see what Kwame said in response, though?
Tell the audience.
Zion, tell the audience.
You're expecting me to be the guy. I have to do – but he basically called out he's called Gilbert Arenas the whitest black boy he's ever seen. That's one. Then he called
that's not nice.
Friend then he called Gil. Steven Jackson a fake Black Lives Matter activist. He also said another other things that I will not say
because it's
kind of wild. Allegedly. And then what did he say about Matt Barnes? Oh, he said he called him Becky with a good hair. That was his thing.
Kwame is certainly the clown of the week. Well done, Kwame Brown.
Is he?
Defend Kwame Brown. Go ahead. How?
I'm not defending Kwame Brown.
I'm not taking a side in any of this.
The man was called out randomly. Like, randomly. He was minding his business.
You're not wrong about that.
He's just trying to live his life.
Also, you know, listen, I love Gil to the end of time, so I'm going to defend him.
So, Adam, you do clown of the week. That's all you. Adam, Kwame, stand clown on your words.
Calling Steven Jackson fake Black Ooh. Lives Matter, you fucking kidding me? Like, come on now. Like,
I don't know.
Steven
all right.
Jackson
next topic.
Personally has been really cool. I like Steven, and Matt's been cool too. So, I'll own it. Kwame, clown of the week for that nonsense.
There we go.
All right.
You didn't get the point that me and Gil were arguing about? Like, that didn't make sense to you guys?
No, I got it. I just didn't. I was trying to see where you were looking
at
it.
He called me up and I was like, yeah, I heard what you said about Kwame, about him hating the home games. And then he started saying, well, this is why the Knicks suck. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, because players don't want to play there because they don't want to get booed at home. And then it went from there.
Okay.
Okay. So I should have been more.
That makes sense. Okay.
I get it.
succinct Mike's
speech. I mean, I understand where, I mean, Kwame was just living his life and then fucking he got shot.
This is what Gil does. This is Gil doesn't give a shit. No chill Gil.
He is no chill Gil for a reason. Zion, do you have any youth talk for us before we get to this Tim Grover interview?
I would say, you know, we just jumping into the segments fast. Number one, I need some intro music. Misha's, give me some intro youth talk. So this is youth talk. Play some music, you know, just for me.
Please don't give him anything.
I want to shout out, because I know Adam wasn't watching because he's a fraud, but the Liberty, shout out the Liberty, shout out that first game, Sabrina Ionescu. That was,
I saw the end of that game.
That was one. That was a great game.
I was watching it live.
Very clutch.
I flipped off the Yankee game to watch that live.
Bro. She's a problem. She's a problem. But shout out to the WNBA. Y'all got to start watching it more.
So that's the youth talk. I can't. We're about 200 days still until football season, I think. So I'm just chugging along over here, guys. I miss it.
This man.
Well, two out of three of us do not give
the a schedule watch. Release came out. The schedule release was fun.
We don't care.
Was it? It got leaked. Every game got leaked before they announced it.
Yes, they did. Hey, Adam, who's winning week one? Sam Darnold or the Jets? Because they're playing each other.
No one gives a fuck.
Is
no
Sam Darnold
cares.
Putting no, up six TDs?
Zero
is he
people
putting
care.
Up six TDs?
Zero goddamn people care.
Imagine Sam Darnold puts six TDs.
I hope he does. I hope he throws for an NFL record 13 touchdowns. I hope he annihilates the
Dang,
Jets.
Dang, I was going to go. I was going to go a whole podcast without saying nothing about Cleveland. But you're playing the Chiefs.
Yeah, you keep sucking us in.
Oh, we got a tough one week one. We got a tough one week
you
one.
You are getting smoked on one Browns.
I don't
Browns.
Think so. We really improved our defense. I don't know if we win, but we really improved our defense this offseason.
Did you see the line yet for Chiefs?
It's
Browns?
Down to 4.5.
It'll be a very good game.
It started at 7, Adam. It's been bet down.
Well, if you got the Browns at +7, that's incredible.
I mean, we're talking about NFL Lions in fucking May. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm a football
next.
Guy.
Lock in the valley.
I love it. Wait, who did the Giants next. Play week one?
The Broncos.
L. Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the Broncos.
Nah, it's not Aaron Rodgers. And if it is Aaron Rodgers can catch that smoke too. This is a new Giants team.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater will smoke that.
Oh, hell no. Teddy Bridgewater will be lucky to start. Drew Locke is still on that team.
It'll be a competition.
Yeah.
It's a competition.
Giant, Adam has already turned on his man, Drew Locke, just like this. One bad season.
Right. Not my man. Crazy. For the one millionth time.
That is your
man.
That's your favorite guy. The predecessor to, what's his face? The prodigy of Philip Rivers for you.
I have zero mans west of the Mississippi River.
On that note, let's get to our Tim Grover interview. Very, very, very good. He was MJ's trainer forever through the glory days, everything. Worked with Kobe. Great Kobe stories. Great Charles Barkley stories. Just great basketball stories. Let's get to it. He's got his new book coming out today, actually. So go cop that, his new book. He talks all about it. Let's get to it.
Read books.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
All right. Big welcome to the Complex Sports Podcast. Tim Grover, Michael Jordan's trainer, Kobe Bryant trainer. Tim, new book, Winning, coming out. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling excellent, gentlemen. How about yourselves?
We're feeling good. We're feeling
good. Not too bad this afternoon when we're taping this. So.
All right.
Yeah. It's a sunny day in New York City. So, Tim. Tell us about this new book. Let's jump right into it. What what made you want to write this one? What's different about it? You know, like what's the angle we're coming from here?
Well, here it is. You know, I did a book 8 years ago called Relentless, and that was more on the mindset of the individuals that I work with on a regular basis. I wanted to do something more for the masses. So this book, Winning the Unforgiving Race to Greatness, it's a continuing conversation from the relentless mindset. But as we know, the ability to win is in all of us. Wins are everywhere, every minute, every opportunity we have, the opportunity to win. But people only look at winning at the end. They see the people standing on the podium, the championship trophies, all that other stuff. They don't understand that it has a completely different meaning and a completely different language in order to get to that final win. And it doesn't matter whether it's in sports, business, parenting, or whatever it is. This is the language, and this is what it takes to consistently win over and over and over again. Not just compete, but win.
And you've got plenty of anecdotes in this book from working, obviously, with Mike and from Kobe and some other guys. You work with Dwayne Wade, Charles Barkley. There's Hakeem Olajuwon. You have a Hall of Fame list of former clients, but you have plenty of anecdotes you've kind of sprinkled in there in this book from your time working with all those guys, correct?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You know, there's a bunch of stories in there because, listen, we can all relate. One way or another, we can all relate to sports. We can all relate to these great individuals. We can all relate to how they win, how they compete. Not only did they win, how they handle the losses, how they handle the setbacks, how they handle the defeats. It's no different. Yeah, obviously, they were exceptional athletes and they were exceptionally skilled in what they did. But the mindset is what separated those individuals from everybody else. And it's that mindset that we can take in daily lives, in business, in entrepreneurship, whatever we do in order to get those wins. You know, I give you guys a story that back in the day when Kobe was in his first in the Olympics in 2008, Coach K came up to him and pulled him aside and pulled me aside and said, "Hey, listen, you're actually going to get open shots." Kobe's like, "Man, I never get an open shot. What are you talking about? I'm double, triple team." He goes, "No, but with this amount of talent here, you're going to get open shots." Well, he tells Coach K, he goes, "Well, where am I going to get my shots from?" He goes, "They're going to be from the corners." And Kobe's like, "Man, I hardly ever shoot from the corners." Well, with his mindset, in order to win, in order to chase that medal, in order to get that end result, every single day from the day Coach told him that, I rebounded 500 jump shots from both corners, every single day. He made. Right. And I would challenge him. I would say, okay, out of your next 20 shots, six of them have to be, if they're makes, they have to be all net. Otherwise, they don't count. Or some of them have to go off the back iron. So to make it even more challenging to understand that, hey, this is the mentality it takes in order not to just compete, but to win and to win at winning.
So Kobe was the original PJ Tucker knocking down corner threes. I'm joking.
What did you, when you were watching The Last Dance, was it just a total like reminisce? You were just like throwing back in a time machine and enjoying it again?
Yeah, it was. It brought back a lot of things that I had forgotten. You know, I was just certain thing because I never worked for the organization. I worked for the team. I worked for Michael directly. So some of the things I wasn't privileged to, I mean, I would hear things, but to be able to see those, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I get it. But it was like, it brought out the person in him that I only knew that person. That's the only person. Mm-hmm. That's the only person I knew, that competitive individual. And no matter what he did, the way he talked to his teammates was the same way he talked to me. I mean, for 15 years with him, very rarely did I ever call me by my name. He had a nickname for me, which I'm not going to say on the thing. But
no, you can let it fly. You can let it fly. So he can say it. Yeah, we're not going to bleep it out. Go ahead.
I was, hey, motherfucker. Yep.
That's amazing.
So that was my nickname, and then when I'd see him every now and then, he'd call me Tim. I'm like, who the hell is he talking to? I'm like,
is he still that competitive? He for sure is, right?
It doesn't change. It doesn't change.
He thinks he could drop 20 in an NBA game right now. True or false?
Oh, 20? Are you kidding me? Tell you can drop 20 in the first half. he goes, no problem. Like, you know, his big thing now is fishing. So he's got this boat and he goes out on these little fishing expeditions and so forth where you try to, you know, you don't catch the little fish, you gotta catch the big fish. And the competitive nature doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. So he's the same individual, slightly heavier, but the same individual.
But there's got to be something you're better at than him. There's got to be something that you can beat Jordan in.
Oh, let's see. I can outlift. Well, when we used to train together.
No. Talk your talk. God, if you can outlift him, you can do all that stuff. Talk your talk.
Let me finish. We always used to work out together. And back in those days, I used to be able to outlift him until he actually surpassed me. Nowadays, I'm pretty sure I can outlift him. I'm pretty sure. If I get on the scale, my number will be more pleasing to the eyes than his will.
There you go.
Love it. So, who ordered the pizza in Utah?
I ordered the pizza in Utah.
But here we have a question for you. Here's a question. You're a Chicago guy. You're obviously well versed in deep dish. You probably know your pizza. Now, some of us New Yorkers on this podcast will fight you about whether deep dish is better than New York style pizza. Argument for a different day.
Sure.
But as a Chicago guy, you should have known better than to order pizza in Utah in the mid 90s. Like, that was a mistake. That was like a recipe for disaster right off the bat.
I agree. But it was the only place that was open. Listen, we explored every option that was there, every single option. I mean, I tell you, all the fast food places were closed. This was in Park City before Park City was Park City. Mm-hmm. All right. So this was the only place open. And when they delivered that pizza, you know how you just get that bad feeling? You're just like, man, something isn't right here. Something isn't right. And he's the only one that ate it. And we saw the result. Everybody said it was a flu game. I said way back when it was Pizzagate or whatever you want to call it. But hey, listen, you still got the win.
What made Michael and Kobe different? Because obviously two of the biggest competitors ever. But what was the differences in working with them?
I say this in the book Winning. So Kobe worked out harder, but MJ worked out smarter. All right. Mm. So with Kobe, you had to get him to stop. He never knew when was enough.
Yeah.
He never knew when was the, you know, most of us, if you guys go to the gym, you're like, all right, you make that last shot and you leave. Like, okay, you know, you can't leave the gym on a miss. Mm-hmm. Kobe had to make the last shot. It had to sound the right way. It had to go through the net right way. It had to come back the same way and all these things. And he just never knew when to stop. Michael knew, hey, this is enough. I'm where I need to be and I can walk away. And like I said, you know, Kobe's legendary for my 3 a.m. wake up calls to say, hey, let's go to the gym and go get some shots up. And we'd go in, we'd go either work out, get some shots up, and he would leave and I would actually stay in the gym a half hour later because I know he was coming back. I know, because he'll drive and he'll be like, man, that shot didn't feel good. Or he watches film of something. He just say, you know what? I need to work on that. And there used to be some battles where he used to try to get in and I wouldn't let him in anymore. I said, no, you need to go home. We can work on this tomorrow. But both of them understood winning. They knew that winning makes them different. And those differences were going to scare people, but they didn't care.
So what's a moment that hasn't been told to the public that, reminds you best of the late, great Kobe Bryant?
A moment that hasn't been told to the public. Let's think about this one. This was a great story. So we were sitting in a restaurant. We finished a game. Kobe and I decide to go out to eat in a restaurant. And he goes to one of the restaurants and he goes, I need a table for four. And I'm like, it's just the two of us. Well, I didn't ask. So he gets a table of four. All right, and two people see us, two guys see us, and they're like, okay, they finally get the balls to approach Kobe, ask, you know, hey, can we sit down here? And Kobe said, these seats are taken. I'm like, man, am I working this guy out too hard? I'm like, he's starting to hallucinate a little bit. And the guys were like, oh, he's just being this big asshole, and they're not letting anybody sit down. And I said, Kobe, who are those seats filled with? He goes, wherever I go, everybody that puts the best part of them away in the closet where they say, you know, everyone tries to hide their skeletons. He goes, I bring everything and all of me with me, the good, the bad, the indifferent. And those seats are for those individuals because they make me who I am. That was, so he's talking about his alter ego, the mama, you know, the mama mentality. That's he was talking about. So just, and the crazy part about that thing, we actually ordered four drinks. So there were drinks sitting all the way around. And then those other two drinks, they were like sitting there before he was getting ready to leave. And I just kind of looked at him, and there was two shots of tequila. I was like, he walked out. I took the two shots real quick. You can't leave tequila sitting on a good tequila on the table. You got to go.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I want to ask you about Barkley because you worked with Barkley, and Barkley gets overshadowed a little bit, I think, from when people talk about 90s hoops, you know.
Oh.
I think a part of it is he's on TV a lot, so, you know, people look at him, you know, as TNT. Alter ego. He never won the ring. Give us some Barkley stories.
Charles was the most explosive athlete I ever worked with. He's listed at 6'4". He was not 6'4". He was 6'3" and some change. All right. So the same person you see on TV is the same way he was in practice, the same way he played, the same way he did everything. So great story about Charles Barkley, and this is a more off the court thing. So we were at a restaurant, and this guy kept asking him for an autograph. And Charles politely said, no, right now, you know, I'll take care of you later. I'm sitting there, I'm having dinner with friends. And this guy he was just continuing. So as this guy's leaving, he said, you know, he says something to Charles, and it pissed Charles off so much. So Charles literally got the guy and threw him through the glass window.
Oh, you were there for that.
Of the restaurant.
You were there for that incident.
I remember this, yes.
Okay, this is the infamous through the glass incident. Okay, wow. I had no idea that you were actually there for that.
So the people who were there, they gotta go to the judge and witness and all this other stuff. So they find, you know, Charles pays his fine and all this other stuff. He, you know, he's got to do his thing. So the judge, and see, they asked the judge, I think it was a female judge. I don't remember. I don't know if it's a male or female. So he or she goes, Mr. Barkley, do you have any regrets about your actions? And he goes, Your Honor, I absolutely do. And she goes, well, what were those? He goes, I should have threw him out the sixth floor window instead of the first floor window and finished the job.
How surreal was it though to be there and see Barkley just throw some human being through a pane of window? Like, I mean, like, what was your reaction? Like, were you just stunned inside?
Yes, you were just, but you know, you kind of, you're like, okay, most people just say no, 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 but that's Charles. He got to a certain point and he's just like, this is what's going to happen. And it did. When Charles tells you something's going to happen, it actually usually does happen. but his language of winning was completely different than everybody else. His language of winning was all about the truth. It was all, hey, leave me alone, or this is what I'm going to do to you. And you don't leave me alone. That's exactly what happened.
So MJ had a nickname for you, motherfucker. But he also, when he introduced, I guess, Kobe to you, he called you the biggest asshole.
Yes.
And you thought that was a massive compliment. Massive. So you have that on your business card. Does your business card say the biggest asshole?
Yes. You know, listen, if you're going to be called something, don't be called a asshole. Be called the something. You know, that's, that's like if you're going to be known in life, be known as that. Winning wants to know your name. And if it's not going to call you a asshole, it's going to call you the asshole. You know, this, when you look at the book says the unforgiving race. It doesn't say a unforgiving race. It says the.
That's amazing. Tim, I'm curious. How much do you watch the NBA today? Do you still keep up with it? I do.
I don't watch it as much as I used to.
Yeah.
One, obviously, with the change of the schedule, without the fans, players not playing as often, and, you know, last year with a shortened schedule. So it doesn't have the same flavor for me, but I still watch it. Now, I won't say religiously. I still keep an eye on it.
What do you think of, like, some of the younger guys? Like, you watch a Zion Williamson. What would a 90s Tim Grover have done with a Zion Williamson?
What would I have done with it? Well, listen, you know, it's funny. These kids now are so skilled in different areas. They can handle the ball. They can shoot. Everybody's trying to shoot the threes. Obviously, with Zion, one of the things I would really emphasize, and I'm sure whoever's working with him will at some point, he's left-handed. He loves to go left. You know, at some point, You have that athletic ability. You're not always going to be able to jump over people. You're not always going to be able to bully them. So being able to have that advantage and be able to go in both directions, we would have put that emphasis on him. And from a training standpoint, it would be like, listen, do whatever we need to do to keep this individual injury free, because he's so explosive. The amount of force he puts into the ground and he absorbs into the ground is part of what makes him so special. So the training aspect would be like, hey, let's really emphasize the muscles that keep him from getting injured. Let's really emphasize those. Let's minimize those. Now, we can't say we're not going to eliminate them altogether, but we want to minimize those things. Because the way the moves are done now in basketball, there's so much of an overload on certain muscles and certain principles at certain directions that the athletes go in. I would make sure that those things are really balanced out.
Do you have a theory why we're seeing more injuries around the NBA? Again, if you're following closely enough to know that we've seen so many superstars miss a ton of games, there's obviously plenty of theories out there with the condensed schedule, X, Y, and Z, but just from your expert opinion, do you have a reason why it seems like guys are way more injured now than they were, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago?
Well, obviously the game is a lot faster. All right. So in the back in the 80s and 90s, the game actually stopped. Like, you would go to you go from offense to defense, and it would kind of slow down. You know, if you saw 120 points total or 140 points, it was like that between the two teams. That was a lot of points back then. Now you see one team getting up, 150, 160. So there's no stoppage in this game. It's a constant pattern of going back and forth. So you overemphasize those muscles so much more, and they don't recover as quickly. So from a training regimen, I would try to mimic more of what's actually going on in the game than what they're doing now, to really say, hey, this is how you have to recover in this game now. Because you would see in the old days, you guys would know, you don't recover on defense. You don't take defense off. If you're going to recover, you catch your breath, you catch it on offense. Nowadays, they're going at off, 150 points, 140 points, 130 points per team. They are just constantly going. So I would incorporate more stoppage, not even stoppage in the game, but more stoppage in their training. You know, just like a car that you guys have. You have a gas pedal and you have a brake pedal, and you know have to know to use both. But all our testing and measurements now are all about how fast can a person run, how high he can jump, how quickly are they laterally. Well, if you can jump higher, if you can run faster, if you can move quicker laterally, you also got to know how to be able to stop quicker too in all those different aspects. And I don't think that's something that's being emphasized as much as it should be.
What would have Michael Jordan in the bubble been like? Prime Michael Jordan in the bubble. What would have happened?
Which rules? The rules that they have now?
I mean on the court and also just in the bubble.
Well, I think they would have built him his own bubble. That would have been the one thing. All right.
He would have had his own hotel.
Yeah, you know, kind of like the Space Jam thing where they kind of built his own thing. I think they built him his own bubble, his own hotel. Listen. With the way how easy it is to get to the basket, with the lack of contact and the pace of the game and the phantom fouls that we see a lot going on, and MJ would be shooting, he'd average 20 just from the free throw line. Like just literally from the free throw line. People forget, and I know you guys are basketball historians, for his career, he shot over 50% from the field for his career with three guys not only on him, but like trying to take him out. Now, just literally take him out. And the defenses were set. Hey, go stop this guy. Like everybody knew, every team was like, okay, if we can stop him, we got a chance.
Yeah.
This is why MJ's the GOAT, not LeBron.
You know?
Before we get to that,
right, Young Zion?
Before we get to that, if you had to put a number on how many points MJ is averaging in today's game, what would be? Because a lot of people have said like 50.
It would be in the 40s easily. It would be in the 40s. It would be, you know, if he wanted to say he'd get 50, he'd go out and get 50. But it would be in the what's the leading scorer now? He's averaging 30 something, I'm assuming, it's right?
Like 33, like Bradley Beal, I think.
If it's 33, he would definitely go for the 40s.
I mean, the most we've seen is Harden a couple seasons ago when he had 36. But Jordan, in some of his best years, averaged 36 back in the day when the defenses were much more punitive and it was incredibly hard to get to the basket. So, yeah, in today's game, it would be easily in the 40s.
Are you going to see Space Jam too, Tim?
at some point, of course, I have to, because it's going to be like, listen, I'm an MJ guy. But I have the utmost respect for what LeBron's done, what he continues to do, the way he's changed the game. You know, we talk about him quite a bit in this book, Winning, of the different things, how he's evolved as a basketball player, as an individual, as a winner. And he pretty much did it his way. And he's continuing to do things his way. So this is how I'm going to do it. This is the way it's going to be. And it's his league. He's literally waiting for somebody to take it from him, and no one can.
How real quick, I know Adam wants to jump in. How legendary were the Space Jam runs though? Because I don't think a lot of people knew about those until The Last Dance.
Oh, they were unbelievable. They were absolutely unbelievable. I mean, listen, to have that facility in there, and you had to be an accomplished NBA player to come in there, and he got it. That was his first time. He actually got to play with Dennis Rodman and see what that was all about. But I mean, you name it, those individuals were there. You talk about the trash talking that went on in that gym. Oh my goodness, it was amazing. Besides the Dream Team.
Okay.
All right. The best pickup basketball I'd have ever seen.
Over the 2008 Olympic team, even, that you were around.
Yeah, I'm talking about the first Dream Team.
Jam runs even better than the 2008 Olympic team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
I got one final question. Mm-hmm. Did Charles Smith get fouled in 1993?
No.
Yes, he did. Come on. No. Come on. He was fouled. He got hacked to pieces in that play. Come on.
Not at all. He wasn't even touched. It just slipped out of his hand.
End this interview right now.
I don't know if they teach us now, but back in the day, what do they tell you if you're a big man? Don't bring the ball now.
You're not wrong about that.
All right? Don't bring the ball. And you know what? Charles was never the same after that. he was just never.
You're not
the
wrong
same
about that either.
Yeah,
not the same. Tim,
hold up.
Zion, you want to get one more?
One last, because this I want to hear your perspective on this. A lot of people kind of, and just back to the LeBron thing. A lot of people kind of obviously link Kobe and MJ with the killer mentality, and a lot of people kind of clown LeBron and say he doesn't have a killer mentality. What are your thoughts on that?
So this is what LeBron does. All right. LeBron loves to pull strings of individuals just enough to say, hey, I'm running this. So he'll come out and say something. And you just like, here's the thing. Does anybody really believe he's not going to be 100% when the playoffs roll around?
Worst injury of his career, Tim.
Yeah, I understand. But seriously, does somebody ever believe that? Well, so LeBron does have that killer mentality. He has a different type of killer mentality where he's like, okay, he's not always going to take that last, he's not always going to take the last second. He's not going to take the last second shot. You know, he may not start talking trash from you from beginning to end, but you see, he gives you that glare. He gives you that look. And then now how he's evolved in those press conferences from where he used to be, you know, he used to be extremely sensitive. Now it's just like, I don't care. After how many years, what question has he not heard yet?
Yeah, definitely. Huh? Tim, we appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
Let us know the book and when it's out again.
The book is coming out May 18th. Yep. It's called The Winning, The Unforgiving Race to Greatness. And it's available wherever you can buy books. If you want to go on the website, timgrover.com, it's available on my social media at Tim Grover. But it's something different. It's a completely different language. It's a different understanding. It's an understanding of all the individuals that we talked about and what it takes to win. Individuals like you, what it takes to win every single day.
Thank you, Tim.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Can't wait to check out the book. Shout out to Tim Grover. That was amazing. Just so many cool stories about just his hoops knowledge and just hoops history that he's been a part of, that he's seen. It's amazing. I still don't believe him on the pizza in Utah, but whatever. You know, it is what it is at this point.
It's a little suspect still all these years later.
Yeah, his access was definitely crazy. He's had crazy amount of access, and it was definitely great to hear. Especially, I think this is good for people to hear, especially after Kobe was inducted. Shout out to Kobe Bean, Tim Duncan, and all KG and all the finalists. Definitely a great era of basketball that taught me kind of how to love the game of basketball. So shout out to them.
Yeah, Tim Grover really go get his book. It's out right now. If you're a hoops head, I think it's a perfect purchase. Anything we want to add before we get out of here? It's going to be a fun week, NBA playoffs. Adam, I don't know about you, but I've been watching some NHL playoffs. It's been very intense. A lot of fun.
No, thank you.
Playoff hockey's great. Adam, playoff hockey's great. Zion,
You're going to shit on the NHL, but playoff
hockey is a different
beast,
and it's a lot of fun, and it's super entertaining.
It's not even a full capacity with crowds.
It's still intense.
It's still intense.
It's awesome. I watched two games.
If the Rangers were in the playoffs, I would get more into it because I have friends who are big Rangers fans, and I kind of get wrapped up with them.
But the Florida series, I don't know if you pay attention. The Lightning and the Panthers, they hate each other. They're just fighting the whole time. It's great. Yeah.
Get some more black people.
Respect, Young Zion.
Get some more black people when I watch.
The Tampa Bay Lightning have a forward line of all black players.
No, it's two people. Two people. Don't say it all, but it's two people. Man,
I thought it was
three, and that's a line.
Yeah, it's three, pal.
Three is not enough. Get me an all-black team, and I'll be impressed.
Oh, my God. All right.
He can never be pleased.
He's never fucking pleased. Let's watch some hoops this week. It's going to be fun. Hopefully, the NBA gets a nice little ratings boost. I know Adam Silver needs it. Not everybody.
You love talking about ratings. You will never talk about the actual game. You will just talk about ratings.
Not everybody can be king. You know, king stays king.
We are in the media here, yeah. So it is kind of a media thing.
I hope people watch. I don't want the NBA to become extinct. King stays king. All right. On that note, we love y'all.
Very nice.
Until next time. Stay safe. Make sure you subscribe.
Before you close it out, I got to get one more word in. Shout out to my guy Kyrie Irving, 50-40-90. Had to add that in. 50-40-90. Put some respect on Kyrie Irving's name.
Kyrie Irving got me this bad boy. Let's go.
That fake.
Your cubic zirconia ring.
I'm showing up my very authentic team issue Cavaliers.
Dave and Buster's ring.
All right. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify Podcast. Go leave those reviews. In the reviews, let us know who you want to hear on the podcast. How do we forget? Zion, Tom Brady shit, ESPN, People Magazine, everywhere. That Tom Brady Zion clip was everywhere. Did very well.
Awesome. I do not get that. I do not understand that.
Fox News, your favorite site. Fox News picked it up, Zion.
Oh, well, that's Adam's favorite site. Relax. But no.
I do not go to Fox News, for the record. No, never go to Fox News.
I don't get it either, because everyone generalized
I knew it. That headline was going to grab people immediately.
But they generalized it as all Giants fans. Like, oh, why do you hate?
Yes.
He was specifically talking to me. That's it. Like, I'm not everybody.
And for the record, I had a little monologue to give to Tom Brady after you got done, Young Zion. But the rep cut off the interview, so I had something to say for Jets. For the Jets fandom, the Jets fans are about to be heard.
Yeah. Well, y'all have a reason to hate him.
Yeah,
exactly. I was about to read him his rights.
But, cut off. Okay. Tom totally Brady, yes. Come back on the podcast without your publicist next time. How about that?
Oh,
yes, please.
Yeah. All right. Jeez. We'll see you guys later. Stay safe. We love y'all. Until next week. And as always, a special thanks to our producers, Josh Jodd and Jasmine Plata, our audio editor, Misha Jones, our production manager, Sean Sel Correa, our talent booker, Shanice Kelman, our senior director of operations, Jen Stewart, our general manager, Donnie Kwok. This is a production of Complex Networks.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.